Everybody.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salam. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين الذين مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور
Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Today, Allah the Almighty has enabled Jamaat Ahmadiyya Sweden to construct its second mosque, which has been named the Mahmood Mosque. By the grace of Allah, both men and women showed high levels of sincerity in building this mosque. This was a big project, and considering that the size of the Jamaat here is very small, therefore this indeed was a very large project for them. There are many here who are unemployed, there are elderly, children, and such women as well who do not work. However, where we see that the members who are in employment excelled in their sacrifices for this mosque, we also see that the women and children also did not stay behind. Rather, they set high examples in giving precedence to their faith over their worldly desires for the sake of building the house of Allah. Who is it that does not have worldly desires? And in this day and age, where there are countless materialistic attractions, one becomes surprised of the financial sacrifices that are made by the Ahmadis. It is not the question of just one mosque. The project of building mosques, purchasing and building salat centers and mission houses is an ongoing process. And then there are further countless other expenses. This work is happening all around the world. And alongside this, there is also the payment of regular chandas that continues. Besides fulfilling their own needs, the Ahmadis living in developed countries are also making sacrifices for fulfilling the requirements of Ahmadis living in underdeveloped nations as well. Or, despite the fact that Ahmadis living in underdeveloped countries are making sacrifices, however, the shortage that continues to remain in fulfilling their requirements is supported by the Ahmadis who are financially better off. Therefore, there are many members in Jamaat Ahmadiyya who, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, have this tendency that they remain restless for the sake of making financial sacrifices. This Islamic spirit of sacrifice for the sake of the Jamaat and for the sake of Allah the Almighty has been instilled in us in this era by the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had expressed surprise at the level of financial sacrifice of the Jamaat, similarly today, as I have said, one becomes surprised at these sacrifices. And all of this is due to the grace of Allah the Almighty. And it is the fulfillment of the promises made by Allah the Almighty to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, which is that Allah the Almighty will continue to fulfill all His needs. The estimate of the expenses that I have been given for the construction of this mosque and the residence which consists of two rooms in its upper floor, the offices, library, etc., is 37.5 million krona or £3.2 million. A hall, a missionary house, and a kitchen have also been constructed. However, the finishing of the hall is still being completed, and the administration thinks that there are still some more expenses that will be incurred of about 8 to 10 million krona. As is frequently the case with various projects of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, we carry out a lot of work through Vakariyamal, i.e. voluntary work, and as a result this saves a lot of the cost. and the volunteers have been working day and night, and some have told me that they have been practically living here, or have just been visiting home for a very short time, only to return later, in order to finish the work early for the inauguration of the mosque. Even then, as I have said, some portions could not be completed. Once these contractors and laborers set their feet inside a building site, they take their time. And therefore, the local management should have left that margin before inviting me. In any case, may Allah the Almighty reward those who have made sacrifices or have played any part in the construction of this mosque and the entire complex. It is a very beautiful mosque, and the local residents have also been praising its beauty. Representatives from the local newspapers and radio who were here a couple of days ago also said to me that the mosque was very beautiful and that it is an addition to the beauty of this area. I will now give a few examples of the spirit of sacrifice displayed by everyone, adults and children alike. An 11-year-old girl who had saved a few hundred kroners over a long period of out of her pocket money gave this money for the construction of the mosque. Another girl who is 10 or 11 years old went to Amir Sahib or whoever was collecting the donations and gave them 500 kroners for the construction of the mosque. And she told them that she had sold a couple of pet parrots she owned in order to get some money to contribute in the construction of the mosque. In these countries, there is a trend among children to keep pets. However, this Ahmadi girl didn't prefer to keep her pets like other children. On the contrary, she preferred construction of the house of Allah over her hobby. In fact, the only real priority or hobby is seeking Allah's pleasure. But it is only the Ahmadi children who can appreciate this. Who, since early childhood, they understand the importance of the saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever takes part in the construction of a mosque, in fact builds a house for themselves in the heavens. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the best places in a city are mosques. He also said that we should build mosques in tribes, neighborhoods, and cities. And it is for this reason that we try to build mosques everywhere. Wherever I go, the journalists ask me why we have built a mosque in that particular place, and whether there was any particular importance of that place. They ask me the same question over here as well. There is no significance of wealth or of a particular place. Our mission is to build mosques wherever there are few Ahmadis, so that they can gather and duly offer their prayers. Another girl, who was in itikaf, i.e. praying in seclusion during the last 10 days of Ramadan, made contact with the local administration of the Jamaat and offered her jewelry for the construction of the mosque. In monetary terms, the jewelry wasn't very expensive. However, it was all that she possessed. and she asked the person she handed over the jewelry to not tell her parents about the donation that she was making, as it had been a gift from her parents to her. There is another girl, a Vakfaino, who put all her jewelry and her pocket money in an envelope and placed it under her father's pillow, along with a letter saying that these were her entire possessions and that she had nothing left to offer Allah the Almighty for the construction of this mosque. There are also young newlywed women offering all their jewelry who had not even had the pleasure of wearing it yet, but they donated it for the construction of the mosque. Also, many women whose husbands had already promised and fulfilled decent contributions for the mosque also offered their jewelries and their entire savings for the construction of the mosque. I was also told that there were two ladies who were unable to make any financial sacrifice, or they did not possess anything. However, they had inherited a house from their father in Pakistan. They sold that house and offered the total sum, which amounted to hundreds of thousands of rupees, towards the construction of the mosque. A khadim had promised a large sum for the mosque, and a part of which was on behalf of his wife. However, due to some misfortune, the couple separated later on. And so, when the khadim was approached concerning the promises, the father of this khadim said that the lady shall pay her promised share herself, as the couple had now separated. However, the young man replied, "No, I made the promise on her behalf, therefore I shall fulfill this promise myself, despite the fact that we have now separated." And he later made the full payment. Thus, we observe that on one hand, there are some people who do not even fulfill the due rights of a woman, and at times, punitive action has to be taken against them, as they do not abide by the verdict given by Darul Qaza, i.e. jurisprudential board. Whereas the matter is an obligation upon them, and it is a right due to the woman. And on the other hand, there are some, as I have alluded to, who fulfill their obligations despite a separation. Indeed, these are the people who truly deserve to be called believers. When a khadim from Malmo Jamaat, who was in a temporary employment doing a part-time job, was urged to increase his promise, he increased it from 10,000 to 100,000 krona. And the following week, he arrived at the mosque to pay 50,000 krona. When he was asked as to how he had accumulated such a sum, as his immediate circumstances did not allow this, and the promise to pay was also spread over some time, over a period of about 2 years, he replied, "I have sold my car, and additionally, whatever amount of money I had saved at home, I have brought all that to pay." As a result of that sacrifice, Allah the Almighty granted him a permanent employment and also enabled him to purchase a better and newer model of car. This is that spirit of sacrifice which we observe in many Ahmadis everywhere. It is not specific to this place. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, there will be many such Ahmadis spread in various countries and in various places like here. These were just a few examples which I have presented. I shall also briefly present a few details about the location, construction, and capacity of the mosque. The plan to construct the mosque was initiated in 1999 when an application was submitted to the council. Respected Ihsanullah Sahib purchased a 5,000 meter square plot of land for this purpose and presented it to the Jamaat. This plot of land is prominently located on a high plain, and a main highway runs nearby, which connects Norway and Sweden with the rest of Europe. And it also connects all major cities of Sweden and Norway. It is a very busy highway, which enables its users to see from far away the beautiful edifice of the mosque, which radiates the message of Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty enable every Ahmadi to fulfill his duty after the construction of this mosque. And may this mosque always be a means to spread the message of Tawheed through preaching. And may its true beauty, which is the beauty of Islamic teachings, for the purpose of which this mosque was constructed, ever shine forth. The built area of the complex covers a total of 2,353 meters squared. It consists of five buildings. Among the larger buildings is the Mahmud Mosque, which forms the main prayer room. It covers 1,494 meters squared, that is almost 1,500 square meters. There is also a sports hall, which covers 700 meters squared. There are other buildings apart from these, and the mosque has two prayer halls, one for ladies and another for the men. Some people raise the question here that you separate the ladies and do not allow them to remain in the main mosque. Here there is sufficient answer for the criticism of those who find ways to object against Islam, in that both halls are in the same block of the mosque and both halls are equal. Each hall can accommodate 500 worshippers. Similarly, 700 worshippers can offer their prayers in the sports hall. And thus, by the grace of Allah the Exalted, 1700 people can worship at the same time. Many people have come from abroad today, therefore the mosque looks filled. However, in ordinary circumstances, it is a very vast mosque according to its capacity. And even if the Jamaat of the entire country would gather together, half of the space in the halls would remain empty for worshippers, upstairs as well as downstairs. Hence, this is the responsibility of the Ahmadis here to increase their numbers. It is the opening of the mosque today. I have also come and many people have come from abroad. Therefore, the mosque looks filled. People are sitting upstairs, downstairs, and even outside. However, as I have mentioned earlier, the mosque is so big that in ordinary circumstances, even if the Jamaat of the entire country would gather together, half of the mosque would remain empty. The people here need to increase their numbers and also remove the misconceptions of the people here regarding Islam, and after doing so, call them towards the unity of God. It is the right of the people of this country that, born of sympathy and consideration for them, due to the favor of the governments here and the people and residents of this country, by giving us a place, or by giving you a place, and so, the best repayment for this is to bring them close to Allah the Exalted. Fulfilling the rightful dues of building a mosque will also only then be fulfilled when you fill it with the utmost number of worshippers. And when you fill it by personally coming here and offering your prayers and by propagating the message of Islam to the people of the neighborhood and introducing them to the teachings of Islam. This is the very fact towards which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has drawn our attention to at one place. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, says, "Our Jamaat is in dire need of mosques at this time. This is a house of God. And in whichever village or city the mosque of our Jamaat is established, consider the foundation for the progress of the Jamaat to have been laid. If there is any village or city in which there are few Muslims, or there are not any at all, and you desire for Islam to progress, then a mosque should be constructed, after which Allah the Exalted will Himself pull Muslims towards it. In other words, other Muslims would come and the numbers would increase by local people as well. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, the condition for the establishment of the mosque is that the intention has to be sincere and that it be established merely for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Personal gains or any evils should not at all be involved. That is when Allah will bestow blessings. Everyone should always reflect on this condition. The intention should be completely sincere and no evil or corruption should be in the heart. And sacrifices should be made merely for the attainment of the pleasure of God the Exalted, as should the mosque be constructed and filled. That is when countless blessings are bestowed. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states, the Jamaat should have its own mosque, which should have an imam of the Jamaat who would give lectures, etc. And the people of the Jamaat should gather together and offer the prayers in congregation in this mosque. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam further states that there is great blessing in congregation and harmony. This is a very important matter which people everywhere should remember, whether they are from Norway, Denmark or other countries of the world, that the purpose of filling the mosques is for the unity of the Jamaat. Thus, it is important for us to try and establish this unity of the Jamaat. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states, dispersion creates division, and this is the time where unity and harmony needs to grow immensely. One should grow in harmony, unity, love and affection. And trivial matters should be overlooked. Fighting, quarreling and holding suspicions over trivial matters should be ended. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states, trivial matters should be overlooked, which are the cause of creating division. We who have done the bayat at the hands of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam have done so in order to establish the teachings of Islam, which the Muslims have not only forgotten, but having introduced and spread various harmful innovations in it, and having created various sects, have not only forgotten Islamic values, but also their moral values. Saving ourselves from this, we should try to attain the pleasure of Allah the Exalted, instead of personal gains. And we should also learn from others, and become one body. And for this, we should develop harmony and unity amongst ourselves. And for this, we would need to tread on the path laid out by Allah the Exalted. For this purpose, I will present the advice of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam regarding prayers and mosques. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam says, congregational prayer is more meritorious because it creates unity. And in order to further foster this unity, the details of guidance and advice stretch to the point that even the feet should be aligned during salat. In other words, when standing in rows, the feet should be placed evenly, the heels should be in a line and straight, and the rows should be straight, and individuals should be standing literally shoulder to shoulder. The promised Messiah says, the significance of this is that they become like one body. They should be so straight that they should appear to be one person, and that the spiritual light of one person can penetrate to the other. Some people possess more spirituality while others have less. Hence, the promised Messiah says, that the light of spirituality will penetrate one another if you become one. The attitude which creates vanity and selfishness should not remain. This was the desire of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that vanity and selfishness should be completely removed and to become one. The promised Messiah says, "Be mindful of this very well, that man has the capacity to absorb spiritual light of another. It is for the purpose of unity that it is commanded to offer daily prayer in the local mosque, and then to offer weekly prayer in the main mosque of the city, and then once a year gather at the Eidgah where the Eid prayer is offered, and all Muslims inhabiting the earth gather once a year at the house of Allah, i.e. the Kaaba. The purpose of all these commandments is the same, which is unity. What is the purpose of all the commands, the worship from praying to Hajj, is that so Muslims become one community. Unfortunately, at this time most of the dispersion, division and disorder is among the Muslims. Thus, it is us Ahmadis who have to establish these examples and inform the world of the true and beautiful teachings of Islam." Furthermore, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "The real beauty of mosques is not with buildings, rather it is with those worshippers who offer their prayers with sincerity. Otherwise, all of these mosques remain deserted." Here, the promised Messiah is pointing towards the mosques of the Muslims. The promised Messiah further states, "The mosque of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very small. Its roof was constructed with date sticks, and when it rained, water would drip from the roof. However, the splendor of mosques are with its worshippers. The worldly people had also constructed a mosque during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it was demolished by the command of Allah the Almighty. The name of that mosque was Masjid Zarar, that is, something that would cause harm. The foundation of this mosque was completely destroyed. It is a commandment that mosques are constructed to attain righteousness. Certainly, the spirit of sacrifice for the construction of this mosque, which can be seen amongst men, women and children, particularly the selfless and innocent sacrifices of children which are free from every type of artificiality. This is a proof of the fact that the prayers and the teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam have generally given us an understanding to give precedence to faith over worldly affairs. And our thought of constructing a mosque is not for any worldly purpose. Rather, it has been constructed purely for worshippers. It has been constructed to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty whilst treading the path of righteousness. Therefore, after doing something for the sake of attaining Allah the Almighty's pleasure, we should worry that after we have attained one goal, we do not become heedless of the basic purpose of our life. We should not think that we have constructed a beautiful mosque, therefore we have fulfilled our duties, and that all work is done. Rather, our real work is starting now, after the construction of this mosque. Everyone living here should keep this in mind. We should always keep in mind that is, that I have not created the jinn and the men, but that they may worship me. And that we should always remember to fulfill the due right towards this worship. And the due right of worship can be fulfilled by populating the mosque, as it has been mentioned in a hadith which I quoted earlier. Then, look at the expression of Allah the Almighty's love for His servants, and look at the blessings of Allah the Almighty which He bestows upon them. That Allah the Almighty informed us through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the one who offers prayers at the mosque receives rewards which is 27 times more. Then in a hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A man's prayer which is offered in congregation is 25 times better and in some places it has been mentioned as 27 times better as compared to what he offers in his house or that in the marketplace. And this is because when he performs ablution properly and proceeds to the mosque with the sole purpose of offering prayer, he does not take one step without being raised a degree in rank, and his one sin is removed on his next step. And as long as he is on the prayer mat, angels will send blessings on him. They, i.e. the angels, will say, "O Allah, have mercy on him." And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If one of you is waiting for prayer, they will be deemed to be in a state of prayer. One should not think that Allah the Almighty does not reward if one waits for prayer. In fact, there is a reward for even waiting for prayer when someone is waiting in the mosque for prayer." Furthermore, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever goes to the mosque in the morning and in the evening, Allah the Almighty arranges for his hospitality in paradise." Therefore, those who come to the mosque regularly stay as guests of Allah the Almighty. We must also express mutual love and affection towards each other more than ever before in gratitude for the construction of this mosque. All of you must do this who live here, and also the Ahmadis wherever they may be in the world. When they go to the mosques, they should also fulfill the rites of the mosques. After the construction of this mosque, you should show your models of Islamic teachings to the people more than ever before, and you should make them aware of it. Just as the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that a mosque is a means of making people Muslim. If our actions are not in accordance with the Islamic teachings, and if we are not spreading the message of Islam, then despite the fact that people's attention will be turned towards the mosque after they look at it, and as I have said before, that the mosque is located on the highway, and the shiny dome attracts people's attention from far away. However, this attention will only be towards the external beauty of the mosque. The real beauty of the mosque will become visible when those who pray in the mosque will show spiritual beauty because of worshipping in this mosque. Therefore, the sacrifices that were offered out of temporary emotions, indeed they are also noteworthy. Some of them were out of temporary emotions, some of them were spread over several years, particularly those sacrifices which were offered by children and youngsters. However, the time for continuous sacrifices has commenced now. Now we have to transform the external beauty of this mosque into spiritual beauty. This is a great task that we have to do, and the people living here have to do this, that they have to transform the external beauty of this mosque into internal and spiritual beauty. However, spiritual beauty requires consistency. It requires a consistent effort. Therefore, every Ahmadi should pledge to uphold the continuity of this spiritual beauty. The verses which I recited at the start of the sermon, the first of these verses is from Surah Tawbah, in which Allah the Almighty states, the translation is, "He alone can keep the mosques of Allah in a good and flourishing condition who believes in Allah and the last day and observes prayer and pays the zakat and fears none but Allah. So these it is who may be among those who reach the goal." Thus, the purpose of building mosques is to acquire faith in God Almighty and faith in God Almighty can only be perfected when one protects oneself from all forms of shirk by associating partners with God Almighty and considers God Almighty to be the benefactor of everything. Then there is faith in the last day, which although entails a lot of detail, for instance, that the life in the hereafter is better than the life on this earth. However, if one simply ponders over this alone, i.e. in the concept of the last day, then rather than spending all his efforts over insignificant and worldly matters, one will instead strive to become the recipients of the rewards of the hereafter. God Almighty states in one place, "And surely the abode of the hereafter is better for those who are righteous." Now one such abode that a mu'min, a true believer, makes is by virtue of building a mosque. However, the maintaining or filling of this mosque is linked to taqwa, i.e. righteousness. Therefore, the rightful dues of building a mosque can only be fulfilled by adhering to taqwa, i.e. righteousness. Regarding the subject of taqwa, i.e. righteousness, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "In order to become righteous, it is important that after resolutely giving up primary sins like fornication, theft, usurping others, i.e. taking the rights of others, hypocrisy, egotism, disdain, and parsimony, one avoids base morals and on the contrary develops in high morals. One should not only become free of such filthy morals and ill actions, but should inculcate high morals within himself and then continue progressing in them." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "He should treat people with courtesy, civility and sympathy. These are the morals, and this is taqwa, i.e. righteousness, that one should treat people with love, compassion and courtesy, irrespective of whether one is a Muslim, a non-Muslim, a relative or a non-relative. And should show true loyalty and sincerity to Allah the Exalted and look for the lauded station of serving others. i.e. one should do such works that God Almighty is pleased by it. The promised Messiah states, "A person is called righteous by following this. And people who have all these attributes," in other words, a person who collectively demonstrates all these attributes, "is truly righteous." That is, if a person only possesses one of the attributes, he will not be called righteous. A person can only be called righteous when all these qualities are collectively found in him. It should not be the case that only one good deed is performed. For instance, one offers a financial sacrifice or just performs the salat. In fact, financial sacrifices, salat, serving others, showing compassion and good morals are all the signs of a righteous person. And a person cannot be righteous unless all high morals are combined in him. Therefore, as I have mentioned, that our responsibilities are increasing. And in order to fulfill the dues of this new mosque, we must bring about a revolutionary change within ourselves. Then, our attention has been drawn towards the observance of Salat. Observing Salat means offering the 5 daily prayers in congregation. Therefore, the beauty of this mosque lies in the number of worshippers who pray or want to pray to God Almighty with complete sincerity. Then, by drawing our attention to zakat, we have been reminded of the rights of the underprivileged, a mu'min, i.e. a true believer, who believes in God Almighty, the last day, and observes the Salat, will surely also be thinking of ways to purify his or her wealth. And the best way to purify one's wealth is by spending it in the way of God Almighty, and to spend it in order to fulfill the rights of his creation. Today, no one else apart from Ahmadis have true insight of financial sacrifices. God Almighty draws attention to zakat in many places of the Holy Quran, and also the spending of one's wealth, and he has also specifically mentioned zakat. Some people say that the Jamaat does not focus on zakat, even though it is a basic commandment of Islam, and instead focuses more on other chandas. However, this notion of theirs is completely wrong. Attention is drawn repeatedly regarding zakat to those whom it is obligatory. Over the past years, I have expounded on this subject in great detail in many of my sermons and at various times. Moreover, how can we not draw attention towards this when zakat, in one respect, has a great connection with the institution of Khilafat? The following verse, after Ayat Istikhlaf, i.e. the verse regarding Khilafat, which contains the guidance and prophecy of the institution of Khilafat, God Almighty has drawn attention to the observance of Salat and also Zakat. If attention is also drawn to other types of financial sacrifices and financial schemes, that is because, as I have mentioned, that Zakat is not obligatory on everyone. Zakat has its conditions and certain rules. Also, Zakat alone cannot cover all the Jamaat's expenses. And now that the Jamaat is carrying out such extensive projects all around the world, therefore it is essential to also pay focus on the other chandas. Moreover, the Vasiyat chanda, and to make it compulsory upon oneself to regularly pay the monthly Jamaat chanda, has been established by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam himself. However, at this moment in time, I will not be going into the details of this and only mentioned it in passing. However, what I do wish to say is that our responsibilities have increased after building this mosque, and we need to pay attention towards fulfilling them. Our attention will remain focused by forging a connection with Allah the Almighty, and by being mindful of the hereafter, and by raising our standards of righteousness. And we can fulfill this by trying to win the pleasure of God Almighty, observing Salat, and also serving humanity. Religion was going to be given dignity through the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and indeed has, because the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam came as a true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. God Almighty has sent the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam so that the true models of the Islamic teaching are formed, and so that the credibility of Islam can be re-established. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam is also the Khatamul Khulafa, i.e. the seal of the Khulafa, and his advent was to demonstrate the beauty of Islam to the world. Thus, the purpose of his advent was so that the world can witness the beautiful teaching of Islam. The second verse of the Holy Quran, which I recited, is from Surah Al-Hajj, and God Almighty mentions those whom He grants dignity to, and that among their qualities are the observance of Salat, paying Zakat, enjoining good and forbidding evil. As I mentioned earlier, that in this current age, the dignity was going to be granted to the world through the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. the institution of Khilafat was going to be established in this age through the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and indeed it did. And today, Khilafat in the Ahmadiyya community alone is spreading the correct teachings of Islam in the world and is spreading the word of God Almighty in the world and is building mosques for the purpose of worship and not places of evil and discord. And all of this is a means of granting dignity. In other words, respect, honor and strength is being granted by spreading the teaching of Islam. Or, Islam is being granted respect, honor and strength through this. Therefore, it is a huge responsibility of every Ahmadi to reflect over this. And while fulfilling their pledges, they should try to mold their thoughts in accordance with seeking the pleasure of God Almighty. In light of this verse, it should be kept in view that when true servants of God Almighty seek help from Him, they receive help from Allah the Almighty. God Almighty helps those who are truthful and true believers whenever they turn to Him for help. The signs of true believers is that they expand all their capacities and strengths for the welfare of humanity. And also they fulfill the rights of God Almighty. They fear God Almighty and develop in faith and spend their lives in righteousness and they tell others to do good and stop them from doing evil. May God Almighty enable us to understand all these matters. May we pay the rights of God Almighty and also develop in mutual love. May we also pay the rights of mosques as well as the rights of tabligh, i.e. preaching. Having had timely passion for financial sacrifice, may we now adopt unceasing passion for spiritual development so that we can fulfill the pledge of bayt that we have made with the true devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May God Almighty enable each and every one of us to do so.
Alhamdulillah, na'hudu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ
وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.